I want you to turn with me, if you will, to the book of Psalms, 139. Psalms 139. Now we're going to pick up at verse 1. So let's just wait till everybody gets it. In Psalm 139, beginning at verse 1, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my setting down and my rising up. You understand my thought after all, thought affair after all. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Now listen, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. When you were young, did you ever try to deceive your parents? You did. We have one on a soul. But, you know, sometimes when we're young, we think we're so smart that we just know everything, and mom and dad are a little bit, you know, off balance because they don't know all these things like we do. And there are times we think we've gotten away with it and we're very proud and we're walking around until all of a sudden we hear dad's voice or mom's voice. And they say, come here, I want to talk to you about something. And then the whole thing is exposed. They knew it all along, but you thought you were so smart. If it is true of our earthly fathers, how much truer is it of our Heavenly Father, that He knows when we sit down, He knows when we stand up, He knows when we go, when we finish, when we start. He just knows it all. God's knowledge has me completely surrounded. I can do nothing that God isn't aware of. Now, I know that there are times we think, well, we're getting away with it, and everything is going to be all right, but that's not so. God knows everything about me, whether I do it in broad daylight or in the darkest of night. He knows that. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. So this means that you and I are never alone. God knows when we cry. He knows when we hurt. He knows when we're lonely. He knows when we grieve. He knows when we're discouraged. But just for a few minutes this evening, I want you to consider three things that God doesn't know. Now that sounds like a contradiction, doesn't it? God is all-knowing, I've just said. He knows every thought you have, this and that. But now I'm telling you, there are three things that God doesn't know. Number one, here it is. God doesn't know a sin He doesn't hate. Think about that for a second. God doesn't know a sin He hates. God is not a fan of sin. He does not like those things. Over in Proverbs chapter 6, in verses 16 through 19, there are six things that the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to Him. Now listen to them. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift and run into evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. If there's ever any doubt in your mind just how much God hates all sin, then let me suggest sometime this week, when you have a little bit of free time, and you may want to break it down to one a day, but take the time to read the account of the great flood that you read about in the Old Testament, there in Genesis 6 through 9. Now you keep that in mind and you look about it and you see what God has said. And then you can another day or at another time read the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's in Genesis 19. Or you can read the account in number 16 where God caused the earth to open up and swallow Korah and his band of 250 men who rebelled against Moses' leadership. Or if you are all right now, then you can go on to about 89 different references in the Bible. You think about all of the things that were going on. The scriptures teach us that God is holy God, in whom there is no sin. He is not going to tolerate sin. And we look around us today and we see so much of it. You can't turn your television on unless you have some better program than I have. But what you see and hear things, you don't need to know or see. And it's just amazing the way people talk nowadays in public. They talk to you. And I was sitting with a group of men the other morning eating breakfast. And this dentist comes in and he talks to us. And I have never heard such filthy language that he went out with. And it was all unneeded. It was not any call for it. I don't know whether his vocabulary is limited, but I assume he's a fairly intelligent man if he's a dentist and a very good one at that. But, you know, it's just, you wonder. You wonder what it is. The scriptures teach us that God is a holy God with whom there is no sin. God has never, now listen, God has never had a sinful thought. I can't say that because I'm human. But you know, He never has spoken a sinful word. He never has committed a sinful act or even acted out of sinful motive. God hates sin. And how we get that out to a world of sin, I don't know. But we need to keep thinking upon it. Isaiah 59 verse 2 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that he cannot hear." When Adam and Eve sinned, what did they do? Run to the Lord. "Lord, look what we've done. We've sinned." And they said, almost like they'd be proud, but that they didn't go to the Lord. They tried to avoid Him. God hates sin because it lessens our love for Him. Did you ever think about that? The more you love sin, the less you love God. The more time you spend on filth and sin, the less time you're spending with God. God hates sin because it lessens His love for us. In 1 John chapter 2, 15 and 16, he says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, come not from the Father, but from the world." God hates sin because it enslaves us and will eventually destroy us. God hates sin because it blinds us to the truth. Remember the parable of the Pharisee and the scribe? How the Pharisee thought he was so holy and so righteous and so good, and this poor old man over here was such a sinner and had nothing to do with him. We must never believe for a minute that God looks at our sins and sees big sins and little sins. There's no such thing. Sin is sin. Number two, quickly, God doesn't know a sinner he doesn't love. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is John 3:16. That's probably one of the first verses that you ever memorized as a child. That God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son. Chances are every one of us knows some people who are very hard to like and let them alone. But perhaps there's an obnoxious relative or an overbearing co-worker, but we still need to reach them with the gospel. God doesn't know a sinner he doesn't love. And yet you see people all of the time have said to me, "Well, Maynard, I have lived such a bad life, I don't think the Lord could ever forgive me. I don't think he could ever love me because I've been so wicked." And it's hard to convince these people what they need to do, that the Lord loves them and wants to save them. I read a little joke a while back. It's about this woman who came running into the house. And she says, "I won the lottery. I won the lottery." She told her husband to start packing. Well, he got all excited and he was running up and down the stairs and trying to get things together. And he stopped and he said, "Should I pack for the beach or for the mountains?" And his wife said, "I don't care where you go, just start packing." I hope I don't do Joyce that way when I get the lotto. Brethren, you know God could have very easily sent you and me to be lost forever. He has that power. But God loves us even while we were still sinners. So God doesn't know a sin he doesn't hate. And God doesn't know a sinner he doesn't love. And finally, God doesn't know a sinner he doesn't want to be saved. 2 Peter 3, verse 8 and 9. "But beloved, do not forget that one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should have eternal life." When it comes to salvation, there are two factors to consider: the will of God and the free will of man. God loves us. He wants us to obey him. But I have that choice to make. God doesn't know a sin he doesn't hate, or a sinner he doesn't love, or a sinner he doesn't want to be saved. Maybe there's someone here tonight who needs the Lord, who needs to obey the gospel and serve him. All things are ready. Everything is prepared. There are those who may need the prayers of the congregation, and the elders are happy to do that with you as well as all of us who are members too. So if you're here tonight and you're subject to the Lord's invitation, won't you respond while together we stand and while we sing?